Whom does Jesus not save? Jesus will not save the unbeliever. In giving the Great Commission, Jesus declared in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." The unbeliever is to be condemned or damned according to the King James Version. Jesus will not save the unbeliever. He will not save the impenitent. He stated in Luke 13:3-5, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all in like manner perish." He will not save those responsible people who are not baptized. You say, how do you know? Because Christ teaches in the verses I read, Mark 16:16, that the baptized believer is the one who shall be saved. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Being baptized into Christ is being baptized into the death of Christ. And being baptized into the death of Christ is being baptized into the marriage of His atoning blood. And without the blood there is no remission of sins. You may read that in Hebrews 9:22. That is what the Bible says. And I say, are you listening? The Bible says furthermore, "Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, even so we might also walk in newness of life." Romans 6:3-4. Being baptized into Christ, baptized into His death, is the most significant thing that will ever happen to you in your life. Out of Christ, you are lost. For without His atoning blood, your sins cannot be forgiven. Surely, no one who respects the Bible would affirm that salvation is apart from Christ. Salvation is in Christ, according to Acts 4:12. Eternal life is in Christ, John 5:11-12. Redemption is in Christ, Colossians 1:13-14. Forgiveness is in Christ, Ephesians 1:6-7. One is a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. My friends, are you in Christ or not in Christ? Are you in His church, His body, or not in His church? He will not save those who refuse to come to Him. Jesus told a group of Jews recorded in John 5:40, "Ye will not come to me that you may have life." He will not come to those, or He will not be saving those who are unprofitable. Concerning the unprofitable servant, as to be found in Matthew 25:30, Jesus said, "And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Jesus will not save those who refuse to abide in Him. In His great discourse about the vine and the branches, the Lord said, in John 15:6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Jesus will not save those responsible people who never obeyed the gospel. When He comes again, Paul said that He will come rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. Jesus will not save those who have lived immoral and ungodly lives. Paul makes this very evident in such passages as 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, Ephesians 5:3-5, and Galatians 5:19-21. The apostle concluded, "Of which I tell you before, as I have often told you in time past, that they who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." John, while on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 21:22, warned about the destiny of the disobedient and ungodly. They will not be in heaven, according to Revelation 22:15. They will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, according to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. And now, question, who will be saved? In his memorable message upon the historic Pentecost, Peter said in Acts 2:21, "And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." In writing to the Romans, recorded in Romans 10:13, Paul affirmed, "But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, if we can determine who is meant by the one who calls upon the name of the Lord, we will know just who can be saved. The average religious person today may say that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and even by just saying, "Lord, save me," or something like that. My friends, this is not the meaning at all. Jesus made it clear in Matthew 7:21-23 and Luke 6:46 that simply saying, "Lord, Lord," will not avail. Such will not save anyone at all. Just who is the one who calls upon the name of the Lord in order to be saved? He is the obedient believer. Paul makes that very clear in the record of his address to the jailer, found in Acts chapter 16 and verses 31 following. The jailer inquired, "What must I do to be saved?" Acts 16:30. Paul and Silas, inspired men of God, responded by saying, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." But he had to be told what it meant to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That command would have meant nothing to a heathen jailer without full explanation of what this injunction actually meant. The jailer was not told to believe, but was told what to believe. That is, he was not told to believe only. We read in Acts 16:32 that they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. No, they could not believe until told what to believe. After the sermon was delivered, the response of the jailer and his family was that they were baptized the same hour of the night, immediately, as you read in Acts 16:33. Then in verse 34 of this very interesting account we read, "And he brought them up into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly with all his house, having believed in God, saved by calling on the name of the Lord." There is no question about it. The jailer and his house were saved by calling on the name of the Lord that very night. What did they do? They called upon the name of the Lord, but what does that mean? They obeyed the gospel of Christ. That is what is calling upon the name of the Lord entails: full obedience to the primary demands of the gospel. As penitent believers, they were baptized even the very same hour of the night, having called upon the name of the Lord through obedience to the will of the Lord. In Mark 16:16, Jesus promises salvation to a certain who, but who will be saved? The passage says, and I remind you once again, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned." Jesus did not say that just the believer shall be saved. He did not affirm that just the person who is baptized shall be saved. He said that the person who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But to show even more conclusively that baptism is related to calling upon the name of the Lord, we turn to Acts chapter 22 and verse 16 and learn that Ananias, directed by the Lord, told the penitent Saul what to do to be saved. And he was told, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on his name." Now, beloved, are you listening? If Saul could not call upon the name of the Lord without submitting to immersion, and he could not, then neither can we do so today. The person who calls upon the name of the Lord in the true biblical way shall be saved. The Scriptures teach that beyond any shadow of doubt. But who is the person that calls upon the name of the Lord? The person who obeys the gospel of the Son of God. Don't forget, Saul was told, "Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins." Now hear it. Are you listening? Calling on his name. It should always be remembered that Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Now another question. When does Jesus save? Did he save us if we be the elect before the foundation of the world, as arbitrary Calvinism has taught through the centuries? The Bible answers no. Does Jesus save one before any of the stipulations and conditions which are set forth within the New Testament are complied with? Again, we answer no. Does God save one before he is cleansed with the blood of his Son? The Bible teaches in clear language that the blood of Christ cleanses from sin. Does Jesus save us before we obey God's will? Now, really, that's the question. Before we become Christians. Again, we answer with a decisive no. Paul affirms in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we're saved by the gospel. He tells us that the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. These are three cardinal facts of the gospel of Christ. But we cannot obey facts, can we? We believe facts, but we obey commandments. The Bible says in Romans 6, 17 and 18, "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching, whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." What is that form of teaching, a doctrine, to which we are to become obedient? Early in this chapter of Romans 6, we see it revealed beautifully. Remember that Jesus died. He was buried. He arose again. Now one must experience this formula, something that can be called the form of the factual teaching. What is it? Now hear the word of the Lord. And again I quote from the Apostle Paul when he said, "Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might also walk in newness of life. But if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that there no longer be in bondage to sin. For he that hath died is justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." Now, how do we obey this form, this mold, this pattern of teaching? How do we reenact the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord? Paul explained this beautiful and necessary likeness in these profound verses of Romans 6. Jesus died upon the cross. We die to the love and practice of sin. Jesus was buried in the tomb. We are buried in a grave of water. Jesus was raised again. And we are raised from the grave of water to walk in the newness of life. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful form. What beautiful and meaningful likeness. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I say, are you listening? This is the way of Bible conversion. There is no other way. This is the way that one obeys from the heart that form of teaching. This is the way that we contact the cleansing blood of the Christ. Question, where did Jesus shed his blood? Obviously in his death. How do we get into his death? Paul affirmed that we are baptized into Christ, into his death. Romans 6, verse 3. When does Jesus save us from our past sins? He saves us from our past sins when we hear him, believe in him, repent of our sins, confess faith in the Christ, and immerse by the authority of the sacred three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, unto the remission of sins. When we obey from the heart that form of teaching, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord, then and then only are we made free from sin.